Well, hey, welcome and happy Father's Day again. Good to see you all. Enjoying your wonderful weekend. It's a little muggy out there, but it's I walked in the church this morning and I went, there's oxygen in here somewhere. I know it. I can't find it, but it's in here. So we tried to cool it down a little bit. It's weird preaching Father's Day because, and it's really weird pastoring your dad. That's just kind of bizarre. Pastoring both of your dads is doubly weird.
We're
going to
be listening.
You're going to be listening, yep. And so it's a little unique talking because, you know, how many things can you talk about? And then you're talking about dads, but there's a lot of people in church today that aren't dads. And I just want to just challenge you guys all to just tune in this morning because this is for all of us. When I was just starting out, I decided to take the later track in maturing. I had one of my best friends in high school. He was like 35 when he was in seventh grade. Like he knew how to talk to teachers and he was just, you know, kind of schmoozing and just like. And is now a school administrator and stuff like that, you know. And I was not that guy. Took me a little while to mature. I got married late. But when I first started out in youth ministry, there was some kids, well, lots of kids in the youth group, but there was a kid that I would end up hanging out with a lot and was just an amazing young man, and I would go to their house, and they didn't have a dad around there, and I didn't really know much of the story. I knew that he had left, you know, whatever, and so I would just go over there as this immature, I don't even know how old I was, but no clue how the world worked or anything. You know, I'm loving Jesus, and I'm kind of part-time working at a church, and I'm loving kids, and I do love these kids still today, and would go over there all the time, and we would play games. They had a pool table at their place, and we played pool, and we'd watch different TV shows, and we would just talk and talk and talk and talk. We'd go cruising around, and back when I had a big stereo in my car, and we'd go take mains with the big stereo blaring, you know, listening to Christian music and stuff, and I always thought. Because I didn't actually talk to the mom. I mean, it did every time I came in, you know, super respectful. And we just didn't have if I'm going to be honest, I was just always scared of her. Like, she wasn't mean at all. I just, like, oh, this guy's coming over to play with the kids again, you know. But they were in youth group. And so never really knew what mom thought of me coming over all the time. But, you know, I'm trying to help these kids serve Jesus, you know, whatever. And so... Fast forward, we got invited to go to a very special event of the families, that family, and the mom is introducing me to one of the people that I hadn't met before, and I'm like, oh, how's this going to go? And she said, and I still can't believe what I heard, because my experience of it was, this lady is going to just throw a pan at me if I come walking in here again, because I'm over here all the time. And she introduced me. She said, I was on my own trying to raise these kids, and I had no idea what I was going to do. And then Kirk showed up. Remembering the same story here? And it, like, when I went into that, I was not thinking, hey, I'm going to go be a dad to these kids. I could barely even tie my own shoelaces at that time, right? Like, I worked with Jim here, so I mean, they corralled me and kept me pointed in the right direction, but, you know, I had a lot of zeal, but not a lot of wisdom, and I love Jesus, not a lot of maturity, but what I'm trying to say is, there is, all of you, especially you men, there's such a vacuum in this world today that these kids are looking for fathers. And not that I'm not talking about being creepy, you know, but just making yourself available just to love people. And you would be amazed at the influence that you have because of a lack of fathers. And so I was going to put some graphics up there about just the benefits of having dads around and the detriments of not having dads around. We know that fathers are so impactful in our community and a society and as a family. And so there's a lot of voids out there. Amen. So you guys, even if you don't have children of your own, or if your children have left the home now, and maybe you don't always get to see your grandkids or whatever, I'm just saying you men are important. And guess what, ladies? Us men often are not nearly as confident as we portray. We're all just a bunch of scared boys. And it's really true. We need you guys. We need people to pour into us and to encourage us. And the role of a man is so important. So just saying, guys, just be alert for that. Not in a weird way, but just be consistent with being a righteous man and walking in the ways of the Lord and loving people and being there for people. And you would be amazed at how much impact that you would have. John Tyson was talking about masculinity. That's a word that's thrown around a lot and in ridiculous ways, whatever. It doesn't matter. But he had a definition of masculinity. He said this: one definition of masculinity is to joyfully pursue sacrificial responsibility on behalf of others. That's kind of a mouthful, but men of God can stand up when they're laying down their lives for someone else, when they're sacrificing, when they're giving their all for other people. So let's look at the Bible for just a little bit. Now, most of this today, and we should sail along pretty quickly here, but sometimes, like the last couple times on soul, that's like, okay, ouch, my head hurts. That's a little deep. And other times we got just tons of scripture. Today is just very practical. It is really, really, really practical. It's very simple. So there's going to be a lot of practical stuff. So we got a couple verses first. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12 says this: you are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy and righteous and blameless we were among you who believed. Paul is writing this, and he says, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging and comforting and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So let's look at the first part of this. You are witnesses of our lives. Dads, men, people are watching you. People are watching you. There is such a vacuum of healthy manhood in America today. People are looking for something real. They're looking for a man of God that doesn't have to be abusive, that doesn't have to be weak, that doesn't have to be something weird, that can just be a normal guy, that can live a pure and holy life. And he's saying, you saw that. You saw how holy and righteous and blameless we were among you who believed. And I think just by that, just by being a guy, showing up to what you're supposed to do and just not be dumb, I think you're like miles ahead of, like, you're filling a gap right there. Like, well, I just don't know what to do. Just walk in the holiness of God, walk in his righteousness, live a good life, right? Have Jesus at the center of your life and do your stuff. And you're going to end up, because we're in such a vacuum in America, they're going to be like pointing to you. That guy out, he's amazing. What does he do? Well, he doesn't do dumb stuff, right? He doesn't self-implode. He doesn't, you know, whatever. Then the second part of this says, so you, men, like, let's live it out. Let's live it out. Do you know that one of the most surefire ways to create rebellion in your kids, like all the studies show this out, one of the greatest ways to cultivate rebellion in your kids is to by having an absolute moral standard that you don't follow yourself. That's true. All right, everyone's, ouch, yeah, I don't like that, right? That's no fun to talk about. But that is the greatest way to put seeds of rebellion. So we have to live it out. Come on, guys. We need to be men of God. And I love that about this church. There is men of God in this church. Amen? Amen. And then he says, next, you saw us live out that righteous life. For he says, you know how that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own. So here's Paul, and he's like talked about Timothy, you know, being his spiritual son, and this just kind of what I opened with, like, man, there was a vacuum here as well, and Paul is just saying, a father deals with his own children by encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom. So That's our scripture. We're going to end with one scripture after that, towards the end. But I just want to give you what John Tyson called it. He wrote a book called The Intentional Father. I did a little bit of the stuff from that last year. You scared? I'm going to trip.
Yeah.
Everyone who that knows, we'll see if you pull it back, then I'm really going to trip. Yeah. We'll just pretend that it's good. If I fall, Aspen, you just say, that's my dad. Yeah. So John Tyson wrote this book called The Intentional Father, and kind of showcasing the five different types of father, irresponsible father and involved father, whatever, but the intentional father, about being intentional about connecting with your kids, about moving them towards the gospel, about discipling them, about growing them, about helping them become a man. And so we touched on some of that stuff last year. So he had a chunk, I was listening to a podcast of him, and a chunk of things, which I added some of my own to, of what he called like low-hanging fruit. Because here's the deal, dads, or men who are filling a void in someone's life, and you might not even know it right now, you go, I kind of want to help. You ever heard of like mentors? Just being a mentor, like just in the generic sense, being a mentor. Just being someone that someone looks up. I've got a number of mentors in my life. And sometimes we don't know what to do. How do I connect? How do I influence? So John Tyson just threw these out in the middle of the podcast. And I thought, you know, that's kind of like, I wrote them down and we moved on. I kept taking notes on other things. Then I was getting ready to preach. I'm like, wouldn't it be fun just to take some of this stuff that we all know? None of this is going to be revelation for you guys, except for maybe one that I think is really good. We'll get to that one later. But just some, like, how do I, as a dad, as someone, as a grandpa, as someone who has influence, maybe over, you know, some kids that are in my life from some other reason, and this doesn't have to just be little kids. There's a whole generation of grown-up dads that don't know who they are. So some low-hanging fruit today. We got a list of these. So one thing you can do, and this just, you know, you're like, hey, I know this kind of stuff. But do you? Yeah? Let's scroll back through the last couple of weeks and let's see how our praying for our kids is going. So we know this stuff, but it's a lot easier to know it than sometimes it is to do it. But just think about this. If you pray for your kids for a minute a day, that's a half hour a month that you're praying for your kids. That's 6 hours a year. So if you pray 1 minute a day for your kids, you can say at the end of the year, I was on my face before the Lord for 6 hours for you. That's a true story. So I'm just saying, we're not talking about greatest dad in the world here. We're talking about what can I do? And that's what I thought I'd like to just kind of throw out, is because we can get paralyzed with things. How can I just start? How can I just start? And hopefully after you see the list of these things, that one or two of these will stick out and you'll be like, you know what? I want to change that in our home. Or you know what? I've got a kid in my life. Or you know what? My grandkids, blah, blah, blah. And something that it's just going to kind of poke your heart a little bit. So pray for your kids. Man, it doesn't have to be long prayers. So I think sometimes guys, right, we hear our wives pray and we're like, sheesh, okay, I don't know, like, what do I do with that? And here's how we can pray for our kids. God, I pray for my kids today. I pray that you would keep them safe. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would draw their hearts towards you. I pray that Jesus would be the center of their thoughts today. I pray that you'd steer them clear from evil and harm. And I pray that you'd give them opportunities to shine the light of Jesus. Amen. That's not too hard, right? It's little things like that. You do that and you start doing that consistently. It's not once you rack up 1,400 hours of prayer, you move to a different level or something. God hears your prayers. Three people believe that, and the rest of you don't pray. That's the problem. Kidding. God hears our prayers, right? So even if it's a heartfelt but a small prayer, I would like you to do your half hour instead of in a month. I'd love for you to do that every day for your kids, right? But I'm just saying, come on, man. We can start somewhere, right? And if we're doing a minute a day already, I can maybe do a minute and a half. My kids are worth 90 seconds of prayer, right? And sometimes we just forget about it. We just need to be told what to do sometimes. So I'm telling you what to do. Pray for your darn kids. That's what we're doing. Because do you think that it's a rough world out there? Do you think that there's some attacks of the enemy? Do you think there's some trash that these kids are walking through and some mental health issues? Let's pray for these kids. So even if you're not a father, like this is Jen. We're talking about fathers today, right? Or being in that position of influence or a grandpa. But moms, you can pray too. But because we know you got the goods. Us guys, we're a little slow off the start on some of these things. What else can we do? We can be present. You guys ever been in a room with someone, but you're not actually in the room with someone? Like, you're there, but not really there. And they're telling you the story, and they're all, you know, and so the other day we went out with my friends, and you're like, yep. And so we drove down the road, and you're like, yep. And they catch on that you're not listening. And then aliens came down, you're like, yep. And then they, you know, cut our heads off and, you know, kidnapped us, and yep. Well, that's great, right? Dads can be pretty good at maybe falling into some of those kind of traps. Actually, we go about three ups and then we're like, get out of here, go somewhere else. So the challenge of being present, man, you only get these moments when these little hearts are opening up to you. And the challenge is this internal pressure of I've got things to do, or I've been working all day and I need to shut down, and you're in my space, in my face. And what do I do with that? And it's so important. And you're not getting yelled at today. We're saying, how can we impact lives more? Be present. It's amazing. I watch Stephen, and I watch him walk through a crowd, and he's present in a crowd. I watch him touch people and look at their face, and he wants to know what's going on in their life. That's all I'm talking about. And sometimes when we get into our homes, or we've got someone that we're influential over, a grandkid or whatever, we're doing the stuff, absolutely. We're going fishing or whatever. But then we just kind of check out. And they might be saying something or trying to get our attention or whatever, and we're just kind of zoned out. I'm just saying, just crank the thing back towards them a little bit. It's amazing what comes out of people when you give them some attention, and how many problems we can head off if we just listen. If we just listen. We good? Because here's the deal. Time is measured in minutes. Life is measured in moments. Yeah, I'll talk about that later. Put away your phone. This is kind of like the last one. Be present. Put the phone somewhere else. Just set down the phone and walk away. Hands in the air, right? And again, this is not rocket science. There's no one in the building that was like, I'm going to church to get some revelation from God. And then you saw this on the screen and you're like, whoa, I never knew that. But you know what, dads? We're just as guilty as anybody else that we get lost in the world, and things are so pressing in this little digital realm that we're living in when life is going on right in front of us. What are you smiling at? It's harder. You're encouraging me. That's not what it felt like. I promise you guys that your kids are not looking for the perfect dad. They're looking for a dad that's trying. Believe me on that. Every person that has raised their own kids or helped raise someone else's kids or grandkids or been a mentor in someone's life, every single person would say, oh, I wish I would have done that differently. I could have done that a little bit better. Anybody in here? No, nobody in here? Okay. Yeah, right? Gosh, we made it through that. But your kids are really just looking for someone that's present and is trying. It's really true. So, put away your phone. Oh, gosh. Next one. ask good questions. And I'm not going to read all these off, but I just, there's hundreds of these online. And everyone does the same thing. We're guilty of it too. Pick up Callie, get in the car. Hey, Callie, Dad, how was school today? Good. Okay, what'd you have for lunch? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, that's it. And we're done. And we hear parents all the time, yeah, my kids just won't talk. Have you asked good questions? Oh, and back up a couple to the being present. I was going to put these in a sub deal, but I didn't. But just as you're being present, as you're like actually in the moment with your kids or with your, you know, whoever you're influencing and being this father figure in their life, how, like, do they seem anxious? Are they talking about a teacher at school? You know, like, are they struggling with a class? Or, you know, are they talking about their friends? And it's all these little things that we can catch on if we just actually listen a little bit. Kind of what's their tone like? Is something feeling off in them? And I think so many times we can pull out a great conversation before things happen that we have to repair things. So ask good questions, going back to this now. This is kind of going along with that. So here's some questions. What's something that scares you? I mean, obviously you wouldn't just rattle off this list of questions to the kids, but man, there's some good stuff in here. What do you wish that you knew how to do? Instead of just saying, hey, what do you think you're good at? You know, whatever, and kind of like putting pressure on them. What's something that you wish you knew how to do? And all of a sudden, you're going to find out what this kid has been floating around in the back of their mind. Well, I wish I knew how to weld or, I don't know, work on Trans Ams or what, I don't know, whatever. What's your favorite thing about yourself? If you could fly, where would you go? It's kind of a weird one, but what is a job that you would never want to have? I said being a pastor when I was young. Yes. How would you describe yourself? If you had $50 to spend, how would you spend it? We do this one in our house a lot. What are you thankful for? Right? Who's someone that you wish you could meet? Cool questions that you're unlocking part of these kids' hearts and minds that you might not get from another just blatant. Because the stuff that we end up in counseling for, we don't always get to ask those questions, but some of these questions help kind of maybe tease out some of those things. And you could go, oh, you're struggling with this. Or, oh, like as an adult, we can put two and two together and maybe help cultivate a relationship that can maybe ward off some of those feelings of loneliness or, you know, whatever the deal is. I've got a whole nother screen. We're not going to read all these either, but what do you wish you could invent? Taylor was always wishing he could invent something. He used to get so mad. Where's he at even? Dad, remember that one time? Or it was like a season. Everything's invented already. He'd get so mad. He'd come with some new invention. Oh, I'm going to invent this. And I would kind of pull it up online. Well, it's kind of already done. Ah! That was a fun phase. Do you have a favorite, look at the genius of this. Do you have a favorite family game in the middle there? Do you have a favorite family game? Well, they might say Monopoly. Why? Because we've had this happen in our house a ton of times where we've asked questions like this and we find out something we weren't intending to find out. Why do you love Monopoly? Because I want to be a billionaire when I grow up. I don't know. That's not it. Because in our house, it would be something like, because everything else gets quiet and we play it a long time and we get to really talk and we get to be with our mom and dad, like for real. You know, like that's not, you're just asking what the favorite game is. It was the long one because we get to be together. You know, you're not going to always get all those rich answers, but do you see what I'm saying? Questions like those that, how do you show people that you care? You're going to start finding out about your child's love language. You see what I'm saying? Instead of saying, hey kid, what's your love language? They have no context for that. But good questions like these. So you can just Google it. I mean, copy these if you want or whatever. But just Google questions to ask kids. And there's some just awesome resources. And maybe just tuck one in at mealtime or something and find out what makes you feel loved. What a more powerful question to ask a kid. If you can cultivate a safe enough environment where they're going to answer that question, I feel loved when we go on vacations, or I feel loved when you make me spaghetti, or I feel loved when you hold me really tight. And all of a sudden, you've got a dads, because sometimes dads were like, oh, what do I do? Dads, when you ask your kid, how do you feel loved? And they say, it's when you go to the pool with me, or what? All of a sudden, you've got a direct line to that kid's heart that you can pour into that. Okay, anyways, have repeated intentional time together. We'll try to scoot along here, but we used to do Friday night family nights all the time. We set that aside when our kids were younger. We were building their house and found out that we're going to spend the next 8 years building this house, and we're not even going to have kids that know who we are anymore. And so we set aside Friday nights. Like, we put the hammer down, the air gun goes down, the saw goes away, and we just stop. It doesn't matter where we're at on the project. We stop. We get a pizza because we don't eat out a lot, and we do something. We fun food, and we just, not a rocket science here, but that was something that we did it, repeated. And we've got all of these built-up memories of years together of having these fun nights. I want to say something. Consistency is better than intensity. Dads, we're pretty good at like, well, someday I want to buy my kid a horse or take him to Disney World or whatever. You know what the kid wants a lot of times? Just wants to snuggle with you in bed sometimes, or rough around on the floor a little bit. And so if we can just consistently, and especially these program things, all right, what happens every night after this, we go for a little walk around the house or whatever, just something where the kids can look forward to having time with you. I told you this was going to just be really practical today. We're making it. It's good stuff. Hey, daily things compounded over time create the culture of a home and depth of relationships. Just doing things over and over and over again that are healthy end up creating this rich and thick environment in your home. Eat dinner with your kids. Is that a good one? Both of our kids said, our older kids said, when we have families, we're eating dinner with our kids. So, this is our rules. So I'm not imposing these on you, but I'm saying it wouldn't be a bad idea. No discipline at the table, no lectures at the table, no devices at the table. Make the table a safe place, okay? Make it a place that kids want to be at. Soak in the small moments, because they really are the big moments. Any of you that maybe are a little bit later in life, you looking back and you're just going, I didn't realize that was going to be one of the memories that like I cherish for forever. Wow, I wish I would have been a little more present in that moment, because that was such a rich time. Yeah. So just slow down a little bit and soak in these little moments. Dads being dads. This is one we learned in the last couple of years here. Yep. This is new for us. This one right here. Give your kids a safe place to process. We're quick with, all right, in our house and me, like, all right, here's what we're going to correct. Here's why your attitude's crappy. Here's what we're going to do different. All right. And help them through stuff or whatever. Not just pound your fists on the table. But a wise old man named Jim. Saying a guy named Jim said, just kind of challenged Marty and I and said, that's great that you want to correct all that stuff, but do the kids have a place to process? Because if they don't process with you, they're going to process somewhere else. And they're going to get advice that you don't want them to, right? They're not going to process it through in a healthy way. So that was really good. Not that, our kids, I feel like our kids have always had a voice in the home and been able to talk about almost anything, but yeah, go ahead and correct behavior. But before we jump right on the correct behavior thing, sometimes your kids, we had one of these the other night. Sometimes the kids, they gotta get stuff out. And sometimes we're quick to say, all right, well, here's why you're thinking wrong, and here this and this needs to change, right? And that's all true. But sometimes they just need a place to get that stuff out. So dads, sometimes just catch your breath. And before you correct behavior or tell them why they're thinking dumb or whatever, just give them a minute to tell you all this stuff and get it out of the inside of them. So I just thought I'd share that one with you, because that was new for us. Encourage your kids and bless them. And this is what, the one we're going to end on. And this, I think, is so powerful. The ability of words from a dad to go into your soul and change who you are. That blessing, our souls are looking for that blessing. And so when my kids were little, I used to write notes. That's the only good picture I could find of a pen and paper. And so I would write notes, and I would write notes to Taylor and to Aspen. And I think Taylor made spit wads out of them. I would try to do it, I think, fairly often for at least a season. And there's something about a handwritten note. I remember you telling me that years ago. Just the power of a handwritten note, especially, and that was true back in the 90s probably when you were telling me that. How much more today in the digital world? Someone gets something in their hand that's handwritten and it says, "You're awesome. I love you. You can do this. We'll get through this. You know, God's looking out for you," and a little Bible verse or something. Like, that's life-changing. I've got kids that are not my own kids, but kids that were in the youth group that are in their lower 40s now in age that still have notes that I wrote them. I would write notes to youth group kids, and they still have notes from youth group when I would write notes to them. So I asked Aspen if she would just share. We were talking about this the other night. And so what was it like getting notes from your dad? And I don't know, just share what you were sharing the other night.
Well, at the time, he was a bus driver, so he was never there in the mornings because he'd leave super early to go, you know, be with other kids and do his job. Early. And we had our spots at the table. And so for a while there, it was every morning you would come out and there would be a piece of paper where I sat. And usually be, "Hey Aspie, hey Princess," whatever it was. And then it'd be a little note, whether just "hope you have a good day today." It would be a prayer or something like that. Sometimes he would do his best at drawing, which is pretty special. And then it was just always "love, Daddy." And I have a bunch of those. But I just kind of, in that time of my life, like, something that they always said was, "let your light shine." And it's something that I took with me many, many, many years later. And yeah, they're just really, really special.
Yes. Thank you for sharing, Aspen. Stupid little stick figure, right? Just a kind word. "I'm thinking about you." And she can hold that note in her hand when her dad wasn't physically there in that morning. I'm just saying, dads, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. I got a whole list of things there. It's not that hard to do. But this blessing of your dad, I would often write to Aspen, especially if I knew she was getting in hairy situations or whatever. I'd write, "Always remember who you are and whose you are." That word of blessing over them, that word of encouragement for sure, but that word of blessing, it's something that we don't do in America. We don't have a context really for it, but in Jewish times, man, you did everything you could to get a blessing. The sad part is our souls still look for that. That hasn't changed. Our culture changed. You know, we're a Western culture. We don't bless people in that way. And yet, it's all over the Bible, because that's what the human heart longs for. And so I want to show you something here. You guys know Hebrews 11, the faith chapter in the Bible? So it starts out like this: faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Anyways, it just goes on and it lists all these heroes of the faith. Down towards the bottom, I saw this when I was getting this message ready, and I was just, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, and it's all these things of by faith, you know, the prophets were sawn into and whatever, and by faith. Look at this. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons. Huh. We think of a blessing just as, oh, hey, you sneezed, bless you, or whatever, or have a good day. That's a kind of a blessing, you know. But think of that, about this. These verses are telling us that these people, by the faith of God within them, spoke words that blessed something, blessed a group of people individually that changed the trajectory of their lives by faith. Sometimes dads were like, I don't know what to say, and she's the words person. I don't really, you know. Like, it's easy for us to get in that, but I'm just saying, get your scratcher crayon out and just, I love you. You are special. You are mine. You're amazing. Here. Love, Daddy. Yes. I'm just saying, there's a blessing that we crave and we can't get from anywhere else. And sometimes we get so caught up with, my kids are just, right, fill in the blanks. This week they're just, you know, hooligans. This week they're just not listening. This week they're whatever, whatever. They're still looking for that blessing. Sometimes you've got to, by faith, bless them. Come on. This is the nugget I wanted you guys to walk away with today. Sometimes we got to bless them by faith. And we would do that in our house. We would say, this isn't who you are. This is not who you are. And we would lay out who we are, and we would bless them. You don't walk in fear, right? I don't remember all the ones, what we struggled with and went through. You're strong. You're fearless. The Spirit of God lives in you. You know, just, we would bless them by faith. Dads, you carry a spiritual authority in your home. Oh, that's not really my thing. Well, make it your thing. It doesn't have to be a big, long, you don't need paragraphs, but just bless your kids, bless your grandkids, bless those around you that you might be in that kind of mentor role for, because that has more power than you could ever realize. All right, we'll end with a story. Two guys up on the screen there in our Soul series. I keep talking about John Ortberg and Dallas Willard. That's John Ortberg and Dallas Willard. Dallas is the guy on the right, or over there, left, your left. So John and Dallas. You guys, have you ever been in a situation where there's like someone that's totally out of place? Like the person that is in the group, like they are totally, like maybe it's like a 45-year-old guy trying to break dance with a bunch of 14-year-olds. And you're like, dude, I know you had your glory days, but maybe just, you know what I mean? It's that awkward tension that everybody knows it except that guy. Yes. A lot of the church has never seen me do the splits. And we might have to work up to some fundraiser or something. So this is kind of what happened with these guys. And so they were together a lot. And so they would do, John Ortberg would interview Dallas Willard at conferences. That was kind of how they rolled. Dallas was, he's probably 80 or 81 in this photo. And John's 20 years younger than that. And so John, in his book, I remembered this story because it hit me as I was getting ready for the Father's thing. I said, I'm going to close with that story. This is really good. So they're at this hip pastor's conference. I mean, you know, like it's no one over 20 something something, right? And so he writes this. I am interviewing Dallas at an event called Catalyst West. If you're a young leader in the church world, you know of a conference called Catalyst. It's a gathering that began several years ago in Atlanta. This one's taking place in Irvine, California. Thousands of young pastors and wannabe pastors and musicians and artists are in a room with fog machines and lighting artistry and sound systems that make it kind of a 21st century evangelical indoors Woodstock. I feel like, this is John writing, the younger of the two, I feel like I'm the oldest person in the room, at least culturally, if not chronologically, and Dallas is 20 years older than me. Dallas wears a jacket and tie. This isn't, like, he's not wearing a tie there. That's not the picture from this. But Dallas wears a jacket and tie. No one else in the room wears a tie. No one else in the room owns a tie. No one else in the room would know how to tie a tie. On the stage, I asked Dallas questions about ministry. His response, what matters is not the accomplishments you achieve. What matters is the person you become. Huh? All throughout the book, John is quoting these Dallas quotes, and he always writes, huh? Like, it's profound kind of things. He speaks of eternity and how the soul is formed and how temptation works and why sin is so destructive. He speaks of the slow, unglamorous building of character. I worry about how this is going. Other speakers at this event speak with great passion, while Dallas speaks in the cultivated monotone of an academic. Other speakers tell dramatic stories of radical devotion and hellish suffering. Dallas tells no stories at all. When he's done, the whole crowd of 20-something tattooed clergy dudes leap to their feet. Dallas is presented with some kind of a lifetime achievement award or something. And they cheer as if he's Jack Nicholson at the Oscars. Here's his last line. I'm at a loss to account for this response. And then it occurs to me, the soul searches for a father. And I just thought I'd end with that slide. I don't get why these tattooed fog machine, young, zealous, he's up there speaking like this, and he's not telling vibrant stories because the soul searches for a father. Guys, there's a vacuum of fathers out there. And you men of God have what it takes to impact a generation. You men can be the men. We've got a whole list of things that you can start to do and impact these kiddos and grandkids and neighbors and just pour into lives, because if we want to change things in this world, we've got to start impacting these little guys and gals. Amen? Thanks for listening to my ultra-practical message today. God, I pray for this group of men and the people that love them, and we pray that we would be the men of God that you want us to be. We pray that you would do a work in our hearts first, and that we could see that multiplied thousands by thousands out in the world around us. Thank you for being so good. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen.